Lord, it's by your Spirit. And Lord, your Spirit gives utterance. And God, thank you. We've gathered in your Son's name, and you've promised that when we gather in your name, you're here in the midst of us. Lord, thank you that we're one in you. We've been made one in you. One, one, one. Hallelujah. One praise. One speech. One Spirit. Oh, and what love. Oh, Father, as you said, the Son is in you, and we're in him, and praise God, we've been made one. Lord, I love it. Thank you. And soon, face to face, and oh, what it'll be. God, take this word, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Shed this truth and love abroad in our hearts tonight. God, quicken us. God, build the faith that comes by hearing the word of God. Thank you again for your divine love and your passion for us to know you. Thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise be to God. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles up tonight for More in Christ. These wonderful studies. I believe we're on here number 18. And if you open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll get on with this precious study tonight. We'll begin reading in chapter 2 with verse 11. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's your life. Hallelujah. That's your life all the time. Praise God. You're facing anything tonight? But now in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now let's just go. But now in Christ are made nigh. What an encouragement there we have in made nigh. That means to rise up and appear. Rise and appear. Isn't that wonderful? So that's what he's done in making us nigh to him, rising and appearing. And think about what this just said. Us who were without Christ, we were without God in the world, but now in Christ, he caused us by his blood to rise and appear. And by the grace of God, let's really think about this. And we'll begin to think about this with Galatians 2:20. That's a good thing to think about this with. Amen? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. From death to life everlasting, to rise up and appear. But now, brothers and sisters, we're in the Ephesians letter. Let's go on. Now, what does this rise up and appear? We're talking about Paul's encouragement of salvation with eternal glory. Turn on over to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll read from Colossians chapter 3 from verses 3 and 4. Thinking of this rise and appear. We've been made nigh. That's what God has done now with us in Christ. Verse 3 of chapter 3. For ye are dead, and your life hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. See, this is the message of the glory, isn't it? Hallelujah. This is the glory for him. And this is his passion for us, is that we appear, praise God, arise and appear with him in glory. There's a depth to that we'll touch on tonight. That's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' glory. But we'll go on even a little bit more. Let's remember this, brothers and sisters. In Christ, always was from beginning, ages past. What do I mean by that? Turn back over to Ephesians, and let's go over to chapter 1, and let's begin reading from verse 4. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, again, this in Christ always was from beginning ages past. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So we see there that he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is from beginning, ages past. The moment of salvation, praise God, we have been placed in that place in Christ in ages past. And then in knowing it was the passion of the Godhead in Christ from beginning, it isn't any wonder why we find this made nigh all throughout the Word of God, to rise and appear. See, he wants us to rise up, amen? And think about the appearing that he wants us to have with him, his first appearing. He wants that appearing where we meet him in the air. He wants that appearing, that rising up and appearing, brothers and sisters. That's the made nigh. But that's not going to be made in our lives unless we're taking him at that precious, incredible love to draw nigh unto him. Amen? In that fervency of love. Well, wait a second. Isn't that the definition of worship? To draw nigh unto him in fervent love as to kiss. This is the drawing nigh that Paul is speaking of. This is the rising up and appearing, praise God, that the Word of God so intimately is speaking to us. Oh my! And this made nigh, praise God, so magnificently was hidden within the veil of the Holy of Holies. Let's examine that. See, the Holy of Holies, we know, was the place where the high priest would enter. Once a year, it was the place of the presence of God. The high priest would go in there in the wonder, in that wonderful type and place of Jesus Christ that he would foresee with us. And how wondrous he was there and in type, rising up and appearing out of the mercy. Think about that, see? As the high priest would go in there, in that Holy of Holies, there was that union in type and shadow of Christ with those ones that would rise up and appear. Now, what are the ones we're speaking of that rise up and appear? It's the cherubim. They were the ones that rose up and appeared, praise God, in the Holy of Holies. And what did they rise up from? They rised up out of mercy. Matter of fact, out of the mercy seat. One piece of beaten gold did those cherubim arise from. Amen. Back in that Holy of Holies, hidden back in there, was that testimony to us, praise God, that out of that mercy seat, the cherubim, the ones in type and shadow that we would see all the way over in Revelation 4, that company, the only company that is seen in the midst of the throne with him, that rise up and take that place because of the depth of the message of mercy. And as this wonderful portion of scripture we started out with, think of that. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You rise up and appear because of the blood of Christ. What do the cherubim only gaze at? The blood upon the mercy seat. It's the grace, it's the mercy. That's the beauty of the message of grace and mercy over and over again. That's the bride for the Lamb. That's the one that will grow up into him in all things. The one that takes nothing but the grace of God. Now, let's go on in chapter 2 of Ephesians and read verse 14. Because, brothers and sisters, here is the proof. It says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition." He broke down that wall. We go into that place that he had for us in Christ in ages past. He saw us there. And by the grace of God, now by faith, let's go in and take it. Amen? We don't need to look at this afar off like the sons of the prophet. By the grace of God, I want to have that spirit and heart like an Elisha. Elijah, I'm not leaving your side. I'm going to stick with you all the way. My goodness, if you're going, I'm going. No, honey, you're not going to be able to go. This is for me. But I'll tell you what. I'll give you this encouragement. What would you like to have? Well, I'll take a double portion. I love that so much. I'll take a double portion. This is what this is, brothers and sisters. We don't have to be on the outside. By the grace of God, we go in. We're the elect of God. Hallelujah. He covets that fellowship with us. But see, this was hidden in the Holy of Holies. The cherubim were always there, the most nigh place, raising out of the appearing of mercy alone and beaten gold, the ones that will suffer to reign with him. That's the appearing in glory. Praise be to God that when he appears, we appear with him in glory. Every Christian's going to heaven, and it will be glorious. But I'll tell you what, I want to appear for him in glory. Stay with that thought for a second, and we'll be right back to it. Now remember, he told us back in Ephesians 1:4, we just read it, he chose us in Christ before ages past. He chose us in Christ, praise God, before he set a star in heaven. Go on back over to Romans 8. Let's be encouraged. As these things, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In Romans 8, praise God, verse 29 and 30, it says there about us, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed the same to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate," that's you, "them he also called," that's you, "and whom he called, them he also justified," that's you, "and whom he justified, them he also glorified." That means to honor and clothe with splendor. See, this is the message of the Apostle Paul. This is what this message is. If you'll receive this, Lord of all, this is what you'll grow up into the knowledge of. This is what you'll have, praise God, that's already been freely given. So think of this. He has always had us in him made nigh and rising up to appear in him out of mercy, appearing out of the mercy seat. And praise be to God, it's written all over the Word of God from the beginning of the Old Testament through the New. Let's go on back to Ephesians chapter 2 and keep going. Verse 15. It says there, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." Well, I'll tell you what, I wish every Christian would really receive that one, huh? Did you read that again? "He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." He took that away. because it was against us. We read that in Galatians as well too. And why did he do that? How did he do that? For to make in himself, in Christ, of twain, one new man, soul making peace. So what that's saying is in his body, in his life in us, he made peace in Christ. And that he might reconcile both unto God in what? One body. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. This is beautiful. Because you see, he abolished the law in his flesh. And he made one new man, which is us in Christ. It says here, one body unto God, one new man unto our Father. And through him we have access by one Spirit unto God. He made peace with God for us through the blood. And how did he do that? By putting us in him. Hear that again. Hear that again. He made peace with God for us through the blood by putting us in him. You ever hear that song? Hidden away. Huh? In his fair wounded side. Hidden from sin. And in grace I abide. I'm hidden in him. I'm hidden away in him. Hallelujah. Nothing's getting at me. I'm accepted in him. Praise God. I'm now made the son of God in him. Hallelujah. That's the sons of God that are in Christ. When God sees us, I'll tell you what, he sees us in Christ. Listen to that. When God sees you, he sees you in his son. That's how like him. One. One. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, quicken us tonight. In his body is how he sees us, made one. And that's why he's put his Spirit in our hearts. I appreciate my sweet brother Vince. He sure loves this. He put the Spirit in our hearts that cries out to the Father, Abba, Father. Praise God. Praise God for Dad. Hallelujah. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians here. It says, now therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we are built upon the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Isn't it interesting? The prophets came first before the apostles. But here it says that we're built first upon the apostles and the prophets. Now, why does it say that? Well, the reason is without the apostle Paul and the understanding of Paul's gospel and the revelation of the mystery of Christ, we would never be able to receive and see into the hidden mysteries that were written by the prophets. And that's the truth. You'll never see into the deep things of the Old Testament without the revelation of Paul's gospel. That's the key to unlocking the mystery. You stay around here very long, we'll go back and forth through that. All of his letters speak of that. That those prophets and the sons of the prophets and the sons of men and the angels even, they wanted to look into those things that were written of the prophets of the Old Testament. They wanted to understand it. The prophets wrote things that they themselves wanted to understand, but they couldn't because it wasn't for them. And the Word of God tells us very clearly, it was written for us. You put your name there. It was written for Jesse or whoever it would be. Praise God. It was written for you. That's what he's, again, trying to convey to you. Honey, I love you so much. I've had you on my mind in ages past, beginning. That's how I love you. And here it is. These things were written for you, as if you were the only one because of in Christ. Because of in Christ. That's the love. That's the passion, praise God, of the Word of God to us and what it's brought us into in Christ. So we see that it is such in perfect order here, the apostles and the prophets. Now, what was the foundation that the apostles and the prophets laid? Well, let's go on over. You might as well read about the master builder. Amen? If you're going to read about the building, you might as well go to the master builder if he's offered to tell you about how to build. So let's go read about the master builder. My, oh my, we're not going out of Paul's epistles, are we? Let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. So we can receive and understand about this foundation that was laid, that we build upon, of the apostles and the prophets. And let's begin reading here from verse 10. That's 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God. See, you're going to always start out with grace. And if you're going to do any building, it's got to be grace. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. Paul's speaking here. So we're built with grace. We start off with that. As a wise master builder. I love that word wise. It means an expert with the best plans. That's what it means. Isn't that beautiful? He's the expert with the best plans. Well, he was the one that was the chosen vessel unto God. He was the one that was going to bring the mystery of Christ in the church. Praise God, that's the best plan. Because praise be to God, as it said about those Old Testament worthies of faith. I'm talking about the Old Testament worthies of faith. We're talking about Noah and Moses and David and all them wonderful prophets like Isaiah and all those full overcomers in the Old Testament. It says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, without us, they cannot be made perfect. And it says that we have a better thing. Well, here it is. Because you know why? Because God tells us over and over how we have this better thing. Because he took the chiefest sinner, the Apostle Paul, and he gave him this revelation. Matter of fact, the domestic, the dispensation here. And he caused him to be the wise, the expert builder with the best plan. Praise God. So let's read this again in understanding that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Oh, amen. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. And you know if you're building on the foundation which is Christ, praise the Lord, you know you're a Christian. You're a child of God. Sinners don't build on that. They can't. So we know that this gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, we know that those are Christians going to sit out there and build. But I'll tell you what, as he says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Let me tell you something. Anything that remains is going to be gold, silver, and precious stone. Praise God. If any man's work shall be burned, that's the wood, hay, and stubble, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Praise the Lord. Can't separate us from the love of God. You sure can live a life that's a complete waste. And it didn't say about the acts that you did or the good deeds that you did. It was how you built on the Word of God in your life. That's what it's all about. What did you take in faith And how does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How much of this did you take? How much is yours? Did you go in there and say, it's mine, 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 all is mine? Well, I'll tell you what, if you did, now we're talking about a masterpiece. Because that's the foundation, praise God, that we're supposed to build upon, which is Paul's gospel. That foundation, praise God, of the master builder, this one that it says with the best plans, that's the mystery of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that's been revealed. And look what that builds. Look what the best plans always produce. Always produce. You find that in Acts chapter 20, 32. In Acts chapter 20, 32, this is what Paul's best plan always produces. And it's kind of interesting here. You know who Paul is speaking to here in Acts 20, verse 32? He's speaking to the church of Ephesus. He's speaking to these Ephesian saints. He's actually speaking to the Ephesian elders. These are the ones that are leading and encouraging this group of saints that love the truth. And Paul is going to depart from them. And here's the last thing he says to them in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. He says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able," it's all powerful, "to do what? To build you up, to make you a building, a structure, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So he's speaking to these ones, I'll tell you, they know the word. They love God. They're leading this church, these sweet people. But Paul's encouraging them on. He says, you stay with the word of his grace. I'll tell you what, it'll build you up. It'll build you up a masterpiece and set you in a place where you'll rise up and appear in glory. Praise God. So, this masterpiece of grace that Paul is speaking of here, it's the bride. You think about what's going to rise up and appear in glory. You talk about what's sanctified. Hallelujah. That building, that masterpiece he's speaking of, you go on over to Revelation chapter 19, it tells you exactly who that is and what structure he's speaking of. That one that's leading John around there in heaven, he says, "Now, John, I'm going to take you and I'm going to show you the Lamb's wife. I'm going to show you that bride adorned." And John said he had to take me up to a high mountain. He's already in heaven and he's going to a higher place. And there he has to look up even. He has to gaze up from where that height is he's at. And there she comes, New Jerusalem, the bride adorned. And she's descending from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. You think she rose up? Praise God. And oh, what an appearing. Full glory. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let the Holy Ghost keep connecting them dots of glory. I'll tell you, you'll be thankful. Hallelujah. Now let's go on back to Ephesians. Let's keep on going here in chapter 2 with more of these in Christ as we finish this out tonight. In verse 21, in whom? Well, I'll take that, in Christ. Praise God. In Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In Christ ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise his name. So this tells us about the masterpiece that he's building. And notice here in verse 21, it is a building, as it says, it's a building, praise God, that is fitly framed. And I'd like to just think about that real quick. Fitly framed means it's perfectly set. Those stones that were cut and brought in to make the temple of Solomon. Let me tell you something. They were perfectly cut. They were cut so exact that when they brought them in for their place, there was no more cutting. They didn't need to be touched at all. They fit in perfectly. All right? And you think about the beauty of a diamond. See, you don't put a diamond in a setting and then cut it. You cut that stone perfectly, and then it's set. Praise the Lord. And that's what's going on for those that'll take that place with him. To rise up, praise God, and you always rise up after you feed on the word of God. Go back to those prophets when they were getting a little bit low. The Lord always in his faithfulness would feed them, and they'd rise up, praise God. And here was more glory to come, praise his name. Now, notice here, it says they're fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now, this is a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. We're growing up in the Lord together, aren't we? See, it's always about growing up fully in him. And what he's growing up here is a holy temple, a set apart, them that are also sanctified. Oh, I thank God for this. This is a vessel that's set apart to him. Growing in grace takes you out from among the camp. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this continues to get deeper and to set us more apart for him. In verse 22, it says, for a habitation of God. And notice again, we are fitly framed together. And it's amazing how tightly fit and compacted in love that he is always bringing out to us. Brothers and sisters, there's no building without stones. There's no building without stones. I tell you what, I pray we're really loving and appreciating one another. And I believe the Lord has caused that to be at this time, hasn't he? We miss one another. We're valuable to one another. We're valuable to God, but we're valuable to one another. And I thank the Lord as he brings this out, is how we're so fitly compacted and tightly fit for him. Perfectly made for that vessel for him. We should rejoice and give thanks to God for the faith and love in our brethren. Brethren of like precious faith, they're rare. And by the grace of God, I'm so thankful when the Lord graces my life to fellowship with them and to meet them. And we've said it many times. I may have not met that brother or sister in Christ my whole life, ever. But when I meet ones that love Paul's gospel and in love with it, there isn't anybody I know any better. And it's the truth. Because everything about us is fully known in what will be forever. It's not about the things of this life. It's about the heart's affection that was set on the things above. And that's the beauty of our God and how he does these things. So as we do close this out, finally, what building is he speaking of here? Think of that. What building is he speaking of here? Well, again, we are in Ephesians, so let's go over to chapter 5, and we'll read about this building that the Lord is speaking of here and what he's longing for. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. See, there's that sanctification again, isn't it? He wants that set apart. He wants that for himself. And cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, this is that chaste virgin unto him. This is what he's speaking of here. This is what he reveals. He is after the building known as the glorious church. Rightfully dividing the word of God. Sound doctrine. Studying to show ourselves approved unto him. Where are we? We're in the 5th chapter of the Ephesian letter. We're in the letter of what is known by those that truly love the Lord in that height, by his grace. We're in the high water mark of the word of God. What's he speaking of? What's he speaking to? What is he desiring of the words that he's speaking to come forth? It's the bride for the Lamb. This is the glorious church. You know that this is what he's after. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 tells us who that glory in the church is. Oh yes, there's glory in the church. And who is that glory that is in the church that he's seeking? Who is that gold, silver, and precious stone that has been built for him, that glory in the church? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, here they are, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel of Paul, by Paul's gospel, that these ones that are saved, that's the Gentiles, that's the word that he's speaking of, that the Gentiles could be saved, that was known way back in the Old Testament. There's more here for them. Well, if you have a Scofield Bible, read the footnote down there. It says that the Gentiles were to be saved. That was no mystery. What he's getting at here is these are ones that are already saved. And now they should be, oh my. I always love coming to that favorite word in the Greek to my heart. Sunkleronimus. Sunkleronimus. Joint heirs as husband and wife. That's the gold, silver, and precious stone. That's the glory in the church. See, there's going to be a wedding. The Bible speaks of it. Praise God. And there's going to be many guests at the wedding. And there's even going to be the friends of the bridegroom at the wedding. Oh, yes. But I'll tell you who they're all there for to see. The bride for the Lamb. That's why he presents her descending from heaven, having the glory of God. That's why those precious Philadelphia saints, there in Revelation chapter 3, he says, I will make known to all that I've loved you. That's what this is about. Christianity can get so blurred in flesh and works, thinking somehow that a rank or a position is because of deeds or what I've done or how I adhered to the law. Well, shoot, he took it away. He fulfilled it for us. This is about love. He's looking for love. He's the lover of our soul, and he wants the ones that are quickened to draw nigh, to rise up and appear. To appear that full loving one that will draw nigh unto him. That come unto him in that worshipful heart, like the Mary at his feet. Those that were criticizing, those that were, whether it was what she had spent, or criticizing because she wasn't working. She was just there to worship and adore and love him. I just want to know him. I want to touch him. I want to feel him. I want to be more nigh to him than anyone can be. And they actually, it kind of had to snap Jesus out of that love trance that he was in with her. And all he could do is say, oh, don't bother her. You're encumbered with all these things of wood, hay, and stubble. This is my gold, silver, and my precious stone. Don't you bother her. That's the glory in the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, right there. It tells you who that is. Now unto him that is able to do it. See, it's him that's able to do it, isn't it? I know everything with God, and especially the bridal message, it's just too much. But that's who our God is. He's too much. He's beyond. He is incredible. He's incredible in his love and his passion and this plan for us with him. And he is able. That's why he tells us this. This is why he assures us over and over that we're his workmanship. That he will perform the good work which he has begun in us to that day of Jesus Christ. And it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding above, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I tell you, we're reading about that power and rejoicing on Sunday, huh? We're going to go somewhere. Praise God. So it says, because of that and because of that power, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, we, again, are speaking in context of this Ephesian letter. This is all about the bride for the Lamb. This is all about the choice one, the favorite of her mother. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. The king's love to her exceeded all the other women. Yes, you will find all of those wondrous quotes all throughout those hidden mysteries that were laying inside all of those beautiful Old Testament stories. All the things of those stories, because he desires that vessel. He desires that rib portion. He desires the masterpiece of his grace. He desires her all for himself. And we close with this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. That's 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Just for him is what that means. And prepared, that means beautifully adorned, unto every good work. So there's the difference, brothers and sisters. That's the difference of what a Christian's life can build on the foundation. And it's always going to be one of two things. It's either going to be the gold, silver, and the precious stone, or it's going to be the wood, hay, and the stubble. And I pray that if we are the ones that want that gold, silver, and precious stone, the gospel of the exceeding riches and the unsearchable riches of Christ, the only one who ever wrote and told us of the way to inherit those things was the Apostle Paul. Because there's no other gospel. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I pray this has been encouragement to your heart, and we'll go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the word of your grace that builds us up. Lord, thank you that this is your love story and love proposal to us. And so thankful, Lord, it's ours by faith. Just believing, hearing the words of the lover of our soul. Lord, continue to open our hearts and Lord, just allow this to be ministered to us in the depth of the passion of your heart that you want to quicken us to embrace you in that same embrace, the highest embrace, that of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've caused us to come this way. Lord, thank you that we do pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that we are excited to embrace your Son. I'm thankful that I know how excited he is to come off that throne to call us away. We rejoice tonight. And God, thank you again for the encouragement, the only encouragement, by your Spirit in your word. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.